Good afternoon. I need a motion to come out of executive session.
So, second.
Motion made by Mr. Johnson, second by Ms. Jones, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Now we're in session. Good afternoon and welcome to the August 14th, 2024 board meeting. I called the meeting to order at 4 o'clock p.m. and received a motion to go into executive session by Mr. Johnson and seconded by Ms. Jones. Before we approve the agenda, we can take a roll call. Mr. Johnson.
Here.
Ms. Wise.
Here.
Dr. Master.
Here.
Mr. Hayes.
Here.
Ms. Jones.
Here.
Mr. Panuel.
Here.
And I am here. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
President, we are going to introduce Derrickson in a moment to introduce members of the Sussex Technical High School Alumni Association Board of Directors. We've had a road to get here, but these folks have done a great job. Sterrington's been charged with putting some folks together to have the conversations which have taken place. She's done a great job with that. We're here to have some introductions and to listen to a program of work. The board authorize this direction and path to go with the forming of the association. The group itself has gone through organizational procedures. Financially, we're still operating under the district's 501c3 for the school district itself. And that might go a different direction at some point in time, depending on the association itself along the way. And we look forward to the partnership work that we have going forward. So, Ms. Harrison.
So I think that the best way to do this is we'll have our alumni board introduce themselves. And then when we have a board, you can introduce yourself. And then we would like everybody back here too. So you're all from the administrative team. These guys need to know who you are. And then once everybody knows who everybody is, you know, we'll address everybody with the plan for the Alumni Association moving forward.
Regina, was the prerequisite that they had to be seniors? Because these guys aren't old enough.
Oh, you know. I'll start with you. Okay.
I am Samantha Haas. I am a 2007 graduate from Sussex Tech. I currently am a teacher at Long Neck Elementary School and have been for 13 years. And I am the secretary on the alumni board.
Hello, everybody. I'm Janelle Powell, class of 2000, with marketing. I'm the board president, and I work for public health. I'm the board administrator for Sussex County Health Agencies.
Hello, everybody. My name's Josh Lynch. I'm a 2008 graduate of media broadcasting. I'm currently the director of engineering and operations for WBOC Companies in Salisbury, and I've been gainfully employed for 17 years thanks to my education here.
My name is Pebbles Hall. I'm a 1996 graduate from Sussex Tech. I took child ed. I'm currently an office manager for the Southern Delaware COPD Coalition.
My name is Aaron Carey. I'm a class of 94. We took up electronics. I'm from Laurel, Delaware. I've been with Xfinity as a senior residential technician for 28 years now.
Adele Jones. I'm a retired educator, Sussex County, born and raised, and native. And congratulations on that. Here for.
I'm Will Canole. I'm a class of 95 graduate, so good to meet you guys. I do civil engineering for a living, which I took here. I did CAD drafting.
Glad to meet you guys. Glad to have you.
Good afternoon. My name is Marcel Hayes. I'm a long-term graduate from another school, but thank you for welcoming you here. I'm retiring from the state of Maryland, then I'm working for the state of Delaware in another capacity. Thank you.
I'm Marquis Chavez. I'm senior operations manager for the SBI Farm Arenas.
I'm Gary Brittingham. I'm the board president. I've been around a long time. I'm retired from the University School District and really appreciate having the opportunity to be on the Sussex Board. And I welcome all of you. We appreciate the efforts you're making on behalf of our district.
Craig Johnson, local president of Laurel, Delaware. Appreciate what you guys are doing.
Bob Masson, I'm a local builder. Joined Milford, Steve Milford, came back to Milford. I retired position with my wife at Milford 7 years ago.
We just built a beautiful house in
Milford. Thank you very much.
Diane, will you let them know who you are in case they need to call Dr. Carson?
I'm Diane Bickford. I'm the person who has this.
Thanks,
Connie.
We'll start with you.
I'm Kelly Bailey. I'm the director of adult education, and some of you are at Sussex Tech. I'm Kristen Matthews. I'm the business manager here at Sussex Tech. I did not graduate from here, but I'm afraid my kids did.
I'm Jason Young, the director of resources and support services. I was previously an assistant principal at Sussex Tech and then left and came back. So,
hi, I'm Matt Donovan, Director of Curriculum and Instruction, and Assistant Principal of Education.
I'm not following the President principal. Thank you for everything that you're doing now.
I'm getting a lot from my assistant principals, my oversee the CTE area. I came to Tech 3 years ago to be an English teacher and switched into admin last year. So, thank you for everyone. Hi, I'm Holly Langley. I'm also an assistant principal. This is my seventh year here at Tech, and I oversee that social studies and English.
Hi, I'm Carol Withers. I'm the supervisor of social ed. Happy to be here for 25 years now.
I'm AP Director of Admin Services, daughter's a 2020 graduate. My wife taught and my daughter's was child ed. And she's starting to have tennis this year. She's actually very good.
Kevin Carson, and met with these fine folks several times. Thanks to the collective work of a lot of folks. And my understanding is we have over 500 folks who said they have interest in the association. So congratulations on that work. And then as a side note, we've spent the last 2 days welcoming our new staff for the new school year coming up. We had 17 in this room yesterday and today. You'll be pleased to know that 5 of the 17 were Sussex Tech alum who have come back because they wanted teacher where they went to school and just basically wanted to be aware of that. Thank you.
Let everybody know where you are, where you're going, please.
So everyone's coming up with me. they don't like being in the center of attention, but everybody's gonna come up with me. So I finish, they're all gonna tell what they want to bring to the association and what they want to how they want to see the association grow. So I was honored to be nominated by these individuals and a couple of people that are not here from the board, as well as the group we call our founding circle. So the founding circle will include the board members, as well as people who had interest early on, but they don't have the time to dedicate to being a board member. And I didn't think it was right to leave them out. So they're our founder circle. But they nominated me to be their president. So I was honored. And So I tell them the whole, everything that happens is going to fall on me. I'm going to be the one that's responsible. I'm going to be the one to take the brunt of everything for them. And I'm going to be the one to look out for them. But we started out, we did our bylaws, took some meetings, several meetings, but we got our bylaws, we got that done. And then we did social events, which are not successful, but we're a new organization. And we were hoping that we can have 500 people attend an event overnight, and it's not going to happen. So we're taking a different approach. So we're going to have several strategic planning meetings / retreats, where we're going to outline our goals, our fundraiser activities, and the steps on how we're going to get there. So we're going to focus on that for a little bit, and then we're going to move from there, and hopefully we'll have more success. I want to be in all of Sussex Tech's business. So events, let us know, because we want to be there. You're onboarding for your new staff and teachers. We want to be there. We want to be there on the first day of school to assist with anything you need us to assist with. Anything, we're here. We want to be involved. And that's a good way to network with the current students, especially seniors, because they're going to be graduating soon. We want them to join the association. And then the parents and community members who are also alumni. So we want to kind of attack from all angles. So right now we're in the planning stages. We're going to fall back a little bit, but we're more than happy to attend or assist with anything. I don't care if it's fucking leagues off. But we're here to serve you, our students, and our alumni.
One of the things I'm working on is a social media presence for us, helping grow the attendance, get more people interested, and let everybody know what we are doing and what we plan to do.
I think for me, I mean, I'm just sort of filling in anywhere they need me to. But the big goals that I have is, you know, there's nothing worse than when you're a student, you have no sense of direction. You don't know where you want to go. I think that's a really common thing. I know I felt that way. And then with the cultivating that occurred with me and my student experience among teachers and other people in my orbit, that had a profound effect on where I am today. And I think that's something that needs to be ingrained a little bit more. And you know, can be kind of a guiding light for students that might not really know what their why is yet. So those are the things that are really important to me, principle wise. And you know, those kind of ideals have a lifelong effect, and that's very important to me. Lifelong learning is important to me. You know, I've stayed active in Skills USA as well, even after my graduation, because of that.
Yeah,
I'm the technical chair at Nationals for video production. And I think it's weird, not to go on here, but I think it's not necessarily weird, but interesting that you see so many kind of common stories among different students. Some people have it completely figured out, know what they want to do, and they have very, very stringent kind of goals. And then other ones are just sort of floating from goal to goal. And I see myself in a lot of those students. So, I mean, if you catch them early and are a helpful force in that, I think that's a great positive thing to keep nurturing.
And to piggyback off that, you can let them know it's okay to change your mind. You came in here and wanted to do one thing, and then you realize you want to do something else. It's okay to change your mind.
So I mainly joined the Alumni Association because I want to get rid of the stigma that if you go to Sussex Tech, you can't go to college. We have to go with whatever tech area you went with, things like that. Two of my children graduated, my daughter in 2018 and my son just last year in 2024. And they both know, you know, I can go to college if I want to. They were told from their home schools, if you go to Sussex Tech, you can't go to college. You have to, you know, just go to there and then you'll be done. You'll have your trade and that's it. So they both know that that's not the case. And I just want to help spread that throughout everybody.
Kind of piggybacking a little bit off of what they've said, but expanding. So one of my big goals was to connect the CTE areas with the people that are currently doing those jobs that are alumni. So like for me, I took child ed. I would love to come back and represent child ed as I am a teacher now, just to show that if you do pick a track, it can be what your future leads to if you keep continuing to work towards it. On the flip side, I actually did come to Tech to join computer-aided drafting when I first picked this school, I took it as an exploratory. Thank goodness for exploratories. Mm-hmm. I did not like it. So ended up in child ed. So it's okay to change, like they said. So I think that's a cool example of that as well.
So we do look forward to working with alongside you all, and anything you want us to do or any meetings or any updates, please just reach out to let Gina know. But before we leave, we want to just recognize Gina. So everybody give her a round of applause because she pulled this baby together. She's our mama of the group, and we thank you for everything, and we look forward to working with you as well continuously. And thank you for Dr. Carson for the vision. We're going to make you proud.
And you're good. We appreciate your help. Thank you for being here. You're always welcome. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate you.
You're welcome to stay.
Okay, we'll move on to the next agenda item. I need a motion for the approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Johnson, seconded by Ms. Wise. All in favor?
Aye.
You opposed? Aye. Motion passes unanimously.
Sure.
Next, I need a motion for the approval of the July 2nd, 2024 board meeting regular minutes.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Wise, seconded by Mr. Camilo. All in favor?
Aye.
And you opposed? That motion passes unanimously. Next, we move to the superintendent's report.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for being here. Happy summer.
What's
not much of it's left, right? We'll go from there. We have a number of items under the superintendent's report. We'll get right to it with Mrs. Hatfield, who has three items for you.
Good evening, everyone. I need to present for you tonight the June and the July monthly financials. We're going to start off with June. As of June 30, we were at 100% of the fiscal year complete and 100% of payrolls complete. And for the June tax collections, we received $36,230, which brought our year-to-date total tax receipts to $12,100,015. We finished the fiscal year receiving 101.9% of our anticipated tax receipts. And in comparison to last year, we were at 102.8%. So like I've said before, some of our receipts and the penalties are declining. So that could be a little bit of where we were a little bit lower. But the important thing is we received more than what we anticipated. For our call center report, if you look at the salary line, we only spent 91.2% of our salary budget. So that was very good. We saved a little bit there. And on the next page, our overall expenditure percentage was only 84.7% for the fiscal year. So we stayed well under our budget last year.
So Christy, the discretionary final cost, the end of our year is September 30th?
No, June 30th.
June 30th. So this is all as of June 30th.
Correct. Yeah. The June financials are all as of June 30th.
Interesting how we're almost under budget almost every time. Does that mean good management?
Or sports. I'm just kidding. No, everybody's being frugal. Everybody, we're a team. And everybody's, you know, trying to.
Well, you know, we bring this to you monthly because budgets are a plan and they come up, they go down, different factors along the way. We've been very transparent about the salary line. We're budgeted to support the contracts that we have for our employees. And we're going to be light in the beginning and don't have visions of grandeur regarding 91%. That's closed up this year and we'll close up again the following year, as it should. That's the plan to do that. From a board perspective, you're in good position. And Chris is going to talk to you in a few minutes about the district financial position report, and it reflects the financial standing of the district. We're in a good position because of the number of new homes in Sussex County and the tax that's collected. We also think we're here because the budgeting process has been good.
On the ESSER summary as of June 30th, in our SREB category, we had purchased some resource materials for SREB. In the mental health category, we had payroll costs for our mental health counselors. And in the TSC project, there were advertising costs, printing of the fall brochure, and solar charges were purchased for our heavy equipment program. And that's the end of the June financials. So now I'm going to move on to the July financials. And they are as of July 31st. So we're starting off the new fiscal year, and we're at 8.3% of the fiscal year complete and 7.7% of payrolls complete. On the tax collections report, for the month of July, we received $23,006, which is also our year to date. And so far this year, we've received 0.2% of our anticipated tax receipts. And our anticipated tax receipts this year are $12,718,817. And last year, we also, at this time, had received only 0.2%. So we're definitely right in line with last year. On the cost center, again, we're at 8.3% of our fiscal year complete, 7.7% of payroll complete. If you look at our salary line, we're just a hair over our 7.7% of the fiscal year. We're at 7.8. But this summer, we have had sick and vacation payoffs. We've had summer April pay. We've had a lot of expenses in the month of July. So honestly, that is nothing to be concerned about at all, because as the year goes along, it'll come down. But we did have a lot of payroll costs in July for those reasons. Some of the areas, if you look at this, are going to be over that 8.3%. But the main reason for that is at the beginning of the fiscal year, if you go to the second page, our overall expenditure percentage was a little bit higher than the 8.3. It's at 11.5. But the reason for that is in the beginning of the year, we're buying supplies, equipment, everything we need to get the school year started to make sure we have the things in place for our students. And because of that, it's going to be higher than where we are in the year. And that's normal. That's how it should be. And on the ESSER summary for July, in our SREB, we had some travel expenses in SREB. And in mental health, again, we have payroll costs for our mental health counselors. And that's all I have for the
month. And the F3 expires
September 30th, and it has to be completely liquidated by November 30th.
So I'm sure he got good ideas.
Already uncovered. the planning for the mental health counselors, the payroll goes right into September. And the planning process for that was transition from ESSER to the opportunity funding that we've been, and every district has been the benefactor of opportunity funding with particular emphasis on mental health. And then this year, at the end of General Assembly session, the mental health grant was passed for grades 9 to 12. It had been done at the elementary and middle school level the last 2 years. So the secondary programs at their beast or mental health this year, which has helped us also. But Angela and Chris, everything is, we're going to be on the mark, and there will be zeros at the end. We won't revert, and we'll be transitioning to the new funding source for those expenditures. So, good job. Anything else for monthly financials? Financial position report, Chatfield?
So this is the financial position report that we do three times a year. So this is the first one for this fiscal year. And this is the report that shows our district solvency, our positions throughout the year. The state wants to make sure that we are going to be able to make payroll and cover all of our other expenditures throughout the year. We want to make sure that we're on track with our spending plan in relationship with our revenue projections. So on the summary page, you can see our projected available balance as of 10/15/24 at the bottom of the far right column on the summary page, the top page. And this is more than last year because we had more of a carryover at June 30 this year than we did last year. And we also funded our set asides more. After you approved the budgets in May, we were able to put a little bit more in our set asides, which also gave us more money in our carryover. So that's why it's higher. So that's a good thing. I've given you a copy of the daily validity, which is all the information that goes in this report comes from that, plus our projections. But we put the information in the following pages of this report, and then the summary page is really the one that counts. But in looking at these numbers, we do feel that we continue to have a strong financial position, being able to carry over more and being able to fund our set asides has helped us as a district. So we're in a good financial shape.
Last but not least.
So lastly is the bond anticipation note I'm going to be presenting. I'm presenting it in the amount of $22,824,216. And this amount represents 40% or the local portion of the total year three amount of $57,060,516. And this note serves as an acknowledgement that the Sussex Vocational Technical School District is indebted to the state for this amount of money, plus interest at 3.76%. And this is our interest rate until the state sells the bonds in early spring, usually, in which we'll receive a new fixed rate at that time, and amortization schedules for principal and interest payments fixed for 20 years. And since the next anticipated bond sale is expected to occur next calendar year, our district is requesting to receive the money now or as soon as possible before the sale of bonds. So in order for us to do that, this requires our district to have this bond anticipation signed by our board president so that we can then move forward with the application process to receive our year three funding. Any questions?
It's 22 million, Mr. President. Think of it as a bridge loan. We do this with this is year three.
Year three.
And if everything comes to fruition, but the only thing that remained on the project is $25 million. 15 of which would be state, 10 of which would be local. Hopefully we're sitting here at this meeting next year, finishing that up along the way.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. your tax rates to, depending upon how the bond sales go, and these rates are good. We've done our modeling based upon these rates and have enough debt service to take care of that. If it spikes up, that's a problem. If it comes down, that's not a problem. We're in good shape in that regard. We're recommending passage and signing of the bond anticipation. Any other questions for staff? Thank you, Chris. As Chris mentioned, the district purchase orders, change orders, vouchers list is pretty long. We have a lot of projects that are going on. You have the document in front of you. It's everything from moving of gasoline and oil tanks, part of the process, coding software from the curriculum budget, Johnson Controls, security. Here's where the set-aside funds come in, right? Those items that are those one-time arrangements we get to use at the value of the set-aside. Helmets, weight room flooring for next year, communication systems, security set-asides, the service ratings. Won't go too far into it at this point, but the C gym is nearing completion. You know that because we're telling you that we're purchasing an overhead door for the end of it. That's gonna lock that up along the way. Also, network drops for the special education staff, pestis abatement programs, apprenticeship textbooks for adult education, rubber flooring netting systems again for the CGEM. The correction on the purchase order for the wrapping of the tractor. That sound quite right, doesn't it? We bought a tractor for the CDL program thanks to the General Assembly. And you wrap that with your own logos. We've got this down as Connect Ed funding. This is actually going to be, paid for out of district adult education funds, not the Connect Ed funding. We've extended our contract with Becker Morgan to continue the quality control with the architectural documents and the security management system also as part of the program. Again, security set-asides, one-timers, vouchers to Richard Y. Johnson, ABHA, and the very first payment to Kinsley Construction for site work in the amount of $751,972. that's part of a $27 million contract for site work. So, you've had an opportunity to see some of the dirt that's being moved. That's where that money is. That's where that money is going to. Any questions on the vouchers or payments?
Yeah, the gasoline oil tank for the leaking.
Mr. Athian, I'm going to let you answer that, please.
So the current fuel tanks are not in very good locations. So they're being moved to their permanent zone, and one of them is much older than another. So they're going to replace that with a new one. And the gasoline tank is much oversized for our current use, since we no longer have a large district-owned fleet of vehicles. We can get a much smaller tank. So they will be put in the current NREC standards through a local company. NREC fully approved everything already. We're up with it with all of our current tanks as well. And then the existing two tanks of which we're speaking will be properly sanitized according to their specifications, and we don't have to worry about that.
Okay.
And is it oil for heating? Heating oil?
No, one's diesel.
Okay.
Diesel fuel. Yeah, diesel, one's gasoline.
Okay.
Based on
the oil tank. Tankers.
Sorry?
No heating oil tank or anything like that.
We don't have. Not yet. That'll come later.
Well, my question there really is, in the future, we're going natural gas, right?
Correct.
Then we're not going to need the oil tank.
Correct. Right. And they will be removed at the appropriate time through a similar process.
Yeah.
As well as propane tanks and everything else.
Thank you, Mr. Athey. Any other questions? All right. Item E, revised choice recommendations. Have three recommendations to the board. First, involving student ID number 302622. It's one of the students who had received communication from the district that because they had failed to maintain academic standing, that their choice application to the district was being rescinded. As we discussed in, I think, at least two board meetings, and an appeal was requested of that process. There was a meeting with Mr. Barber himself regarding the student who came with the parent, and an explanation of poor performance was shared with us, and a commitment to do better was made. Mr. Barber, I think, some contractual arrangements with some folks, and because we had taken formal action to not allow the student to attend because of choice, it's our recommendation to rescind that recommendation for this particular student and allow him another opportunity based upon the commitments that he made to Barber and myself this summer. And we think it will be in the student's best interest, and there'll be several sets of eyeballs on student as we proceed forward. So it's our recommendation to rescind for that particular student. Student number two, it was a student who was accepted, again, the choice through the lottery system, who failed to meet behavior standards in the district of residence, was removed from the district of residence and placed in the Sussex County Opportunity Program scope education, and we're rescinding, making a recommendation to rescind the offer to attend our school next year till, not until, disciplinary matters have to be resolved with the district of residence, and she can reapply in the future if she's able to do so. Student number three is a ninth grader that I'm recommending to be allowed to come to the school due to good cause situation, and that it would be in the best interest of the student to do so. So there's actually one recommendation, but it involves three students. So wanted to make the board aware of recommendations pertaining to those students. Any questions? Thank you. The couple of months ago, we brought to the strategic plan for 24 to 27. We've made some additional edits to the strategic plan. Again, I would remind the board, strategic plan is used. I use the strategic plan in the goal setting as an evaluation of the administrative staff. And Sterrickson did a great job reworking the appearance of the strategic plan. We're going to talk about calendar in a few moments. The idea was for it to be a more comprehensive document. You'll find in the goals what we think to be a deeper dive regarding equity, diversity, compliance with state regulations. We think we're in compliance, but we want to make sure that we went even further. We also talked about the relationship with districts of residents, programs that we started last year after school for students who had a vocational interest from other districts being able to participate in the adult education programs and come over. That's gaining additional steam as we move forward. Work-based learning opportunities are part of the narrative also within the goals themselves. What else? Multi-tier support systems for students who have need assistance in order to have a successful experience here in school. And that's embedded within the document itself. Swaley is going to give her adult ed report. We also put targets out for levels of performance academically, adult basic education, number of certificates, military placements, post-secondary. All of those data points are contained within the document itself. We think they're important, and they include a definition of terms within the document itself. And this is, board will recall, typically in November, December timeframe, we come before you and present where we are with each of the five goals. They can do it again in the spring. Talk about how that's in front. What I like about the strategic plan is that it's not a strategic plan that usually ends up on one of these shelves, and that it becomes the focus of attention. This is our program of work, the things that we do going forward. And it's not all inclusive. There's a lot of items that are not included in the strategic plan. And a lot of the primary things that we want to work on are in here. I would also say that tomorrow, the state is going to release the accountability scores for student performance in the state. It's embargoed until tomorrow when it is released. And you can read it, look for yourself, but honestly, our performance based upon these measures, we can have a discussion about measures, is not good. And scores are not good. It should give us all pause as we look at how are we spending our resources and where are we putting our efforts in order to help our students. That's a commentary, I guess. Just the point of the matter is that this is the next edition of our strategic plan. We're asking for your approval to move forward with that. 90-some% of what we've already previously approved is in here. This is further clarification, a little more detail on some of those five goals as we proceed. Questions or comments?
In your mission statement, what's the definition of a little t, technically, little s student? Are they prefer the students at our school?
Yes.
Then should it be a captain of the team or small? I mean,
that's a great grammatical question. Dr. Alton were here, I would ask along the way, but we'll correct that too. What do you think, Daniel? How about being on point? The mission statement says preparing technical students for their future. The question is, should technical students be capitalized?
If you rephrase it, Sussex
students. Well, that's the question.
We didn't capitalize, but because it's just technical students, it's not our
name.
It's okay,
a lot of these. So, it's students who are going to a solid-based program, are they considered technical students, or only people in their technical areas?
I
we consider all of our students technical students. Moving on, the school calendar. We have a change recommendation for you regarding the school calendar, and it affects the number of student days. And the change is basically looking at time. Try to explain this. Students' contact in school is measured by time, measured by hours, according to the state. Staff are measured based upon number of days. We have been counting our time for students as based upon an 8:30 entry into the building. And our students are coming into the building about 8:15. So instead of 6.25 hours of time per day, we're actually eligible for 6.5 hours per day. So if you take 6.5 hours a day, take it out over a school year, you don't need as many student days. And not having as many student days alters schedule in terms of when does, not necessarily when does it begin, but when does it end in terms of the school year itself. So the recommendation is to modify the school calendar to take advantage of, not take advantage of, but the reality of we weren't taking credit for what we were actually doing in terms of student contact time, and it changes the number of days that that students are required to come to school. It also provides Mr. Vaugher and Dr. Donovan additional professional development days and ways in which we think we can offer additional opportunities for staff engagement into student activities and programs throughout the year. So we think that's a win-win also for the school. It does not change the beginning of this school year. It applies more towards the end of the school year. I'm going to talk about that under comments, but that's really the change that comes along with that. So, do a little math with our calendar, and that's our recommendation to you that we would then submit to the Department of Education. Any questions?
Yeah, you said 8:30, we're at 8:15.
Mm-hmm.
Was our instruction start at 8:30 or instruction start at 8:15?
The state considers instruction or school day to begin when students enter the building, but no instruction. It gives you 15 minutes more to officially look at things. So we're going to be offering free breakfast and free lunch this year for our students. So our belief is that time at the beginning of the day, we believe that more students are going to be eating breakfast than have been in the past. So having that little bit of buffer is going to give us what we think to be improved instructional time. For first period when they come in, and the time is countable. So we want to take advantage of being able to count it. Now, to me, it also, part of it says it's almost an oxymoron, because if you have less student days, then quite frankly, the pressure gets placed on the staff to have a higher quality performance during the time that we do have students. Because I just got done saying that student performance is not good based upon the assessment. So we've really got to be ready for the days that we do have students and have our act together. I'm not saying that we don't, but a student day is a critical day. So making sure that we're taking advantage of what's that time is important, which leads me to the next topic. Which is a conversation about cell phones and the use of cell phones during instructional time. You probably have seen some things on the news from other school districts that are taking a hardline approach regarding not allowing cell phones in schools. There's a state program for a pouch program. There's a variety of, I'll call them experiments, about ways to coexist with cell phones in school. Some of our staff had a conversation over the summer about how to best address this. And our approach going forward is to not allow cell phones to be present during instructional time. That, and when I say cell phones, I'm also talking about earbuds. Dr. Don was probably going to hold the time and show me his watch and other things, but we won't talk about watches because technology is changing rapidly. I don't have to tell you that along the way. But we believe that if a teacher is going to instruct, that the distraction of a cell phone and or earbuds being in place certainly doesn't add to student achievement. And we also believe that we've made a significant and ongoing financial commitment to students in the area of instruction, technical instruction by the use of the iPads and the work that is contained and the ability to utilize iPads in an instructional manner along the way. Another interesting component of this conversation was treating students as adults. And we're in a high school setting. And so there was a degree of conviction that the request to not have cell phones out, visible, in use during instructional time was something that we would make a student responsibility, trying to stay out of the disciplinary field along the way, although there are discipline steps associated with, you know, failure to comply. The point of the matter is that if you want to be treated as an adult, then let's make this an adult matter along the way. Then that leads us into a conversation with adults, doesn't it? So how do we use technology when instructional time is going on? And our plan is for students to be able to have access to cell phones during lunch, during class exchanges, beginning of the day, end of the day. But when you're sitting in the class for the 90 minutes working with it with a teacher, your technology access would be through the iPad, and that there wouldn't be the distraction of the cell phone. We believe that our ability to do this is embedded in the student code of conduct already. I mean, this is not an action item for the board. This is an awareness of where we'd like to go as a school community in addressing cell phones within schools. I'm not ready to go with the pouches, nor do I think that it has viability. We come to learn about the creativity of students, and they want to be creative. And having a secondary phone to put into a pouch, or a variety of ways to get around the pouch, has already been achieved. The pouch is not a new idea; it's been around for about 10 years, and you know, we want to take this approach for the 24-25 school year, evaluate it, have more conversation, and proceed from there. So, if Auditors made the recommendation, we've approved it, and we'll keep the board posted as we proceed along the way. Could there be a complaint or board awareness? You may hear something about, well, if there's an emergency. And the question about an emergency would, quite frankly, have to go old school. You'd have to call the front office. If there was an emergency, we would deal with the emergency by making contact with the teacher and or the student that would be involved and proceed from there along the way. And certainly if we were in a situation for lockdown and other matters, then adjustments would be made along the way. You know, they're trying to be reasonable about this in a technological world. And so we're trying to do, we think the responsible thing for our students. The challenge is going to, in my opinion, be consistency of commitment from staff in order to be able to enforce this on a classroom by classroom basis. I think that's the challenge that's in front of us as we proceed. Questions, concerns, or comments?
David said in cell phones, earbuds. Why not Apple Watch in the class?
Because we didn't want to go there. And I didn't want to go there because of the physical activity that would be required to put the watch on, take the watch off. At this standpoint, I think it's a viable question because, you know, you can be doing just about anything you want on the watch, right? That you have the capability of doing with a cell phone. We're trying to take the small bite out of the elephant to begin with and have that cell phone activity as a beginning point.
Another play the devil's advocate do, we want our students to be adults and teach them to do what they're doing out in the real world. Several board members are still working. Do they take your cell phone when you work?
Okay.
You can't use cell phone work?
Okay.
You can. Right. So we're not exactly replicating what's going on in the real world, are we? Now, I agree with policy.
Well, there's, and I think that's a societal question. I can also tell you about workplaces where when you go into work, you are putting your cell phone in a caddy outside the room before you go in. And it depends on the work situation and environment. We're trying to help students become better students based upon the instruction of the person who's in front of them. Didn't put it on the agenda, but we're going to have conversations coming down the road about AI. And that's a whole other after tonight. But it's another conversation that, as an education community, we're going to have to address. Whether we're going to swim upstream or downstream. It all those matters, but your questions are good. Anyone else?
Not that cell phone available in the classroom.
Correct.
What does that mean? Be powered off in the desk in the pocket? Or don't we? We're not. We're working.
I think what we're saying is that, Robert, correct me, but that the cell phone is not on the desktop. It's not within vision. It's put away in a book bag. It's away. The buds are out.
That's
what I would call it. Attention to the instructor.
It's a work in progress.
Some of our teachers have actually in the last year so brand new policy. They have the little shoe racks. And the kids put their phones in the shoe rack. Classroom setting. We have emergency situations to the ground yourself and the victim of the average relationship.
Yeah.
And really the goal is to have it off, and you mentioned the watch in our policies, it does say that you can really not trying to put the chicken to the salt. Now, we're going to have kids that test this and push this in, and we're going to work with our staff to be consistent, which is really what the you want to change the behavior, change your numbers at the
show. Dr. Massenet said, do we have any issues with that regarding cell phone theft or anything like that?
They did put them, you know, in a box or something.
Yep.
Because somebody
at least last year, I can tell you that last year we did not have any theft of cell phones. Actually, most of our kids probably have their cell phones. Yeah, that seems to be a product that most of the kids have, you know, regardless of even the part of the city he's in. But no, we have not had. And because most kids have, every kid has a cell phone unless the parent is taking it from them. There's no real need.
So there's an honor code among kids. Don't see anybody in cell phone.
Carrie is pretty good at things today. It's like even the earbuds, right? If a kid loses an earbud, oftentimes it'll
they come to us and say they stole it. We'll find it. They left it somewhere. We'll track it. They help them track it. And we can reach it. It's amazing.
Thank you. Item I, board policy ACA branding. Erickson.
The first reading of the branding policy, we just made a couple grammatical changes and added additional logos that we will be using and the cords for the color of the cords for graduation. The biggest thing that we did was that the policy will be reviewed with minor changes to be improved by the superintendent as needed, so that I won't have to come here every month and ask for approval as we add additional logos, which we're going to do. So that was we didn't really make any changes after the first reading, so that's takes care of that one. Okay, so the next policy is the athletic recognition. And during the first reading, the question was to, or the comment was that we should add if a team wins successively, how we would handle that. So we added, should a team achieve success in one or more of the championships, the board contribution will be based on the highest level of success attained rather than a cumulative total of the total win. And so that's the only change since the first reading that we made on that. Questions?
Again, they're both second readings. We didn't receive any other input regarding that. So thank you, Ms. Erickson. Item K. Dr. Field, I think you've got quite a few along the way, from the floor is yours.
All right, the first one is the staff conduct, electronic communication, and social media. Just a reminder, this is a product of Senate Bill 291 that implored us to have a policy regarding appropriate relationships between school employees and students.
Are these the federal Senate or state Senate?
State.
This is the second reading bill, correct? Next,
we have the employee leave non-vacation. The addition here is on the final page, which is the leave without pay. Essentially, allows us to be able to reprimand anyone who may take leave without pay and not have a reason for the leave.
In some cases, we have folks who say it this way are very comfortable getting docked. And when you're very comfortable getting docked, you don't understand that it increases our costs because of increase of substitutes or coverage along the way. So if there's there's 185 work days and you're docked 40, and keep going along, then we want to have the ability to say that that's not acceptable. Now, there's a reason. If there's, a medical issue, if there's a family matter, if there's any of those things are good, shouldn't say that, but we're going to sit down through the personnel process and have those conversations. But if you're willing to be docked on Monday and Friday, got a problem. So it's also get into that a little bit more. Thanks, sir.
Okay, the next one is the revamp of the Title IX policy. I'll just note that the old policy will stay in place because any claim that may come before the This policy starts, would be under the old policy, and any claim moving forward would be under this policy. So not sure how long we'll have to keep both running at the same time, but this would be for any claims moving forward.
Now, you might understand that a group of schools are getting together, right, and getting an attorney to draft this policy.
Correct.
What's the status of that?
That's this policy.
That's this policy.
Yes.
So that's still in process.
Yes. Yes. The one that I brought to you before, there's some slight edits to this, but that has been approved, and that is now what you have recorded. And it's 17 of the 19 districts will have the same. We also will have training for Title IX for administrators. We have coming up 2 hours, and then each staff member has a 30-minute training in light of this new.
And a follow-up question there. Do we have any liability involvement in the issue that Kate and the accused of the Title IX girls sports and athletic blockers?
We've been diligent, and we've been diligent in the planning for the new school, that square footage and lockers and equipment, materials, and our athletic director knows full well, but that is an agreement. It's been a non-issue for us.
And then the next is the weapons detection screening policy. So, of course, this is new with our new weapons detection systems. This was modeled after other districts who have previously gotten these systems in the last year, but was amended really for our district, and also our type of system that we have, some kind of different systems that are purely metal detection guards, weapons detection. This is the first green.
First,
yeah.
So this applies to the existing school and then also the new school?
Oh yeah, all of our policies will go.
Right, so it's been built that way.
Correct.
So I assume we're going to have different types of machines in the new school than we have now, right?
They're going
well, they may, maybe they're approved or the new model or whatever, but yeah, we would have to change, but these are the most high-tech machines.
But we've leased the machines that we have now, and I would invite you that when you leave here today, you go this way. And you look to the left, you can see the student entrance, so you can actually test it out, give her a ride, and see how it goes.
But it's a student entry, but that shouldn't be an entry for everybody.
I don't have 100 machines for 100 doors.
No, but I'm going to come in by door. Just
we're going to have everyone that comes.
Everyone
that comes through the front door. Everyone that comes through this door, everyone that comes through the door by 400 trellis.
Yes, that's our reason.
We won't screen everyone. We're going to screen the absolute majority that comes in, and the ability to, I think, send a message about school safety will be there, part of the process itself. The machines that are at this end will also be able to be used for athletic events in the gymnasium when folks come. So
you're saying we move the machines from this location, or do you have to change the entrance to those buildings?
The entrance remains the same. We put the machines where the entrance is.
So you move the machine to the gymnasium?
In order to get into the gymnasium, I'm going to show you when we leave here.
Oh, okay.
You know, we're going to walk right in, and when you come into the gym, you're going to come through that alcove way right into the facility and hang a right to go to the gym. But everyone will be screened that comes through. We're having discussions about that. We bought one of the sets that are portable, and
have the ability to do that. We're having discussions about settings and how we're going to use it for athletic events along the way.
So there are three within the building and then one further.
I believe one of the, did we get four all together? Three,
but one of the three is.
One of the three.
And this is the double bed here, this one here. Yeah. It's a sad conversation.
These are much more the norm. They were being used at the state fair, Phillies games, I believe,
and
Philadelphia, a lot of sports arenas, so Walt Redford, so. Seamless,
and we're being very open and transparent about the fact that we're using it. There's a lot of folks in them. Maybe they make a decision before they get to property. Thank you, sir. Mr. Athey.
Good evening.
Good evening.
So again, as always, try to keep this as brief as possible. However, you will find on your handy dandy reference guide some highlights, which I would like to point out. First and foremost, the sewer agreement with Artesian, we have received final drafts of that, and they are agreeable to all parties, so that will be sent to us hard copy to be signed and then sent back to them, so we should be good to go with all utilities there. The site work is progressing efficiently and professionally. Been very impressed with all the crews out there on different companies. We get daily and weekly reports on various things. Denrec's been really great with everything so far, very cooperative and informative as well. Couple minutes, I'll put up some pictures that, you know, some of you might just be like, hey, that's dirt. Others might be like, holy cow, you know, look what's going on. And actually, unless you're in elementary school, it's dirt. If you're in elementary school, it's soil. You'll get in a lot of trouble if you say dirt in science class. The asbestos abatement is set for September for the first areas to be demolished. Unfortunately, we are saying goodbye to one of the large adult education spaces. It'll be a sad day for Kelly, I know, but we have made accommodations there, and the new digs, which she will be inheriting, will be wonderful. The current B gym as well as the grounds building. So all those things, obviously, I have to take any suspected asbestos out of those before they can be demolished. You know, that sparkly stuff flying in the air, not good to breathe in. The layout and alterations, we've been doing some double, triple, quadruple checks on things, sending back tweaks, reminders of tweaks, and other various reminders and clarifications where and as needed. With the peer review and ongoing reviews both internally and by the peer company, we are seeing improvement in the plans and are hopeful for the pre-bid as well as bid opening. So, knock on wood, that goes well.
Speaking about peer review, are we talking about Johnson, talking about Amy, whatever that is?
Beckerman.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's peer review.
Yes. Yep. Bid pack B is currently scheduled for August 28th. That is the non-mandatory pre-bid meeting. And then we will hopefully, again, October 2nd, have the bid opening. And we are expecting quite a crowd because there is a plethora of bid packs going out, all broken down by different types. You know, obviously plumbing is not going to be stuck in a bigger one with other things. So mechanicals in one, you have carpentry, all different things going in there. And it'll be really exciting to actually see vertical happening and not just horizontal. Building materials, again, honing in on finishes, seems like we've been here before with that. But we have some choices going out and recommendations from interior decorators. And with the existing facilities, summer work and additional workloads for all departments has gone very well. Again, all of our crews, not just custodial maintenance and grounds, but technology, our administrative and office staff, and all 12 and 11 month and some 10 month employees have really been putting in a lot of work this summer to get us to where we are, as well as you heard Dr. Carson talk about some athletic flooring going into the weight room for next year. So that work has already started because it has to be done ahead of time so it could be moved in over next summer. So this is all, you're stacking upon stacking of things going on. So all of this all at once, and things are going swimmingly. And we did also talk about two of the three weapons detector units have been installed. The third one is supposed to be installed the 30th at this time, I believe. And they did have the staff training. And that's where Dr. Carson was also talking about all types of different settings and recommendations for the process. And Mr. Bogger and his crew, along with Glenn and the constables, and input from the state police, are all working together on that. So it is a collaborative effort overall. Before I show just a couple pictures, any questions on that?
I have one question there, which is also Kristen. And I'm not sure exactly how to ask the question, but it's my understanding that we submitted the bill to Bogger to the state. And it's been some hold up and then approving. Is that correct? That was told before. So if we're having October the 2nd opening, or we have the money to have the October 2nd opening, or it is.
So
what do I talk about there?
So the bond anticipation that I presented is for our year 3 funding. And usually it does not take them that long to go ahead and put the money in our account. That's why we did this tonight, so that we can get our money now. But in order to do that application, we have to have this signed by the board of presidents. It has to be delivered to the application.
So do we have enough money now to start? I mean, for year 1, year 2?
We have year 1 money. We have year 2 money. We're getting ready to have year 3 money. And we're getting market pressure money, about 40% of our market pressure. We're still waiting for the state to put that in. Once we get all that, there should be enough money, I believe, for what we're doing right now.
And then the bonds are 3 years, 4 to 5 years. I mean, in other words, 20. How many years we have to sell that? If I'm 20-year bond, but how many years we have to sell?
We don't sell any bonds.
No, but how many we get to state some?
The state. The state will sell a grand total of 5 in that, you have year 1, 2, 3, 4 money. I spoke about that. What the holdup was, and I think that was part of your question, year 2 was a double bid. We had traditional year 2 money, and we also had market pressure money. Market pressure money to vocational districts was new, different because of our funding sources and the referendum. So the state was long in processing the money for the market pressure portion of the budget. It was approximately $70 million, 71.
Yes.
Between the two. And so as Ms. Hatfield said, we received the transfer of the local portion, which was a bonding process from last January. It's another discussion. And we're waiting for the Department of Education to release the 60%, which could come as soon as tomorrow, Friday, in which case we would hope we would have have enough money to proceed from there.
So if it comes on October the 3rd, the October 2nd has to be canceled. Well, you can't have to put bids out here and get the money to pay for it.
Because,
a follow up question there is, if you say 4 years, we can issue bonds for 35 bids.
I'm saying now, what I said was there was a grand total of five bond packets issued over 4 years. Okay. I didn't tell you the 4 years, I said there were five bond packets, but issued over 4 years, year two being the double. Bonds themselves are 20 years each. So you have the debt service that has to come along with that. Because we've been approved in the bonding for the project itself through the General Assembly, the bidding process can commence.
So we had five bonds. Can we put bids out for the entire project? Because those bonds, year four or the fourth or fifth bond, have not been approved. So how are we approving getting our agreement that we're going to pay this bill? We're signing a contract. We don't know we're getting the money. Haven't approved yet. How's that work?
The money has been approved. It was approved through the bond committee. It's approved through the General Assembly. We've been approved for $249 million. The question is how are they going to distribute it? But we're going to receive that. And the contractors know that we're going to receive that. The state of Delaware has never reneged on a bond commitment to any project along the way.
So certainly not good faith in.
I think there's a degree of good faith. I also believe we're going to have the funding in play before we come to you. I would think there'll be a special board meeting in October, and we're going to ask you to release the following contracts to, I'm going to say 28 contracts. RYJ is actually going to come and do that for you. And that the funding source will be the major CAT money that's been provided with the school district, both state and local. I have every confidence that that funding will be there. So yes, I do think about it.
So if you pay attention to the board up front, you will see that I've become very astute at walking on wings of airplanes. I captured this photo several weeks ago. But as you see the dirt area, that is what will become a parking area near the current track, field hockey, baseball, softball area. So again, lots of progress. There's a little bit of work that goes into that. So it does take time, but they are going gangbusters at it. Not in this shot, but just to the left, you'll see a continuation of that road. And if you were to go out there now, that's all stone. So even on top of this, they continue to make progress. Again, another aerial. So you can see them continuing. And this is one of the practice fields next to the stadium. And that is one area where they're beginning to put a lot of soil. And the end of this week or next week, it'll start to be stabilized. Denrick requires that, so soil's not blowing, you know, a lot of dust in the air or washing away. So unfortunately, that will have to be stabilized with seed so it doesn't wash away.
And we're using existing dirt by hauling it in.
That currently is existing, yes. Yep. There's a lot of shuffling and trying to be as efficient as possible with all that. And again, this is an early on of the building pad site where they've removed topsoil there. You can see it in here if you look closely, but that's actually depressed and where it currently is. Again, not like real exhilarating type stuff, but definite progress. The only reason I included this, there is a worker in the picture, and we typically don't want to use pictures of that, but this comes from the company, so we're good with that. It just shows one of the rollers that's used to compact and smooth things out. And the difference right here, you can already see the existing height versus where the building pad is being prepared. Again, just a larger view just to show the immensity of it. And back here, you will see trees that are no longer standing. And that's just a small portion of it. Obviously, I have to take some trees down to then add other things. There's a much larger pile where the softball practice field, as well as a stormwater pond, will be. And you can see that out there. And all of that will be chipped and reused in other areas for other things. And again, just yet another angle. And you can see part of the building pad site with our current water tower in the background. Okay. And finally, so for those of you that have ever done any of the panoramic stuff on your phone, you know, kind of warps what's in the middle. So this is, I was standing on top of the visitor bleachers at our current stadium. This is that practice field where they're stockpiling some soil. And that's where this actually looks bigger than what it really is. But if you look over here, see our field hockey players are practicing safely behind fence while the parking area has been stoned. It's a good thing when you're talking about construction. And over here is that whole area of the building pad site on which they have been working. So just a couple things to give you some updates without physically going back there. Any questions? And then just one final, they are about to begin building the cross country hill on this side of Route 9 for eventual use. There's a lot that goes into that because you talk about stabilization, you don't want that big hill to crumble and people are running. So it's an involved process. It also will help with the soil that is in excess, but then some could be brought back at different times. So they have all this figured out. They're really great at what they do. And yeah. Questions? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Would you like to talk about the bus contract transfer?
Sure. So we have a bus contract request to be transferred. Any questions? So this is something we occasionally come across. A current contractor is looking to get rid of their contract, either retiring altogether or just wanting to slow down a little bit or whatnot. So before you, there is the request for Lingo to relinquish their contract. It is currently bus 7 to one of our existing contractors in good standing, Johnson Transportation. They have Route 8 currently. So the way this process works, if we have 2 contractors in good standing, we are authorized to transfer one contract to the other. The state then gives a new contract to the new contractor, and then we produce the documents for them. These go unquestioned as long as they are currently in good standing. We have no cause to not recommend it. Had one of the contractors be in hot water with us for whatever reason, we would bring that issue up to you. This is for the contract to run a route in our district only. It does not guarantee them a certain area, or they don't own the route or stops. They just have a contract which allows them to run a bus in our district. Questions on that?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you all.
Mrs. Whalen? Adult Education Report.
I think we should be put at the beginning of the meeting sometime, not all the
Oh, really? At noon, we were having the real voting on the So good evening, everybody. I thought with this month's board report, I would give you a recap of our outcomes for FY24 and our goals for FY25. So in FY24, our enrollment increased across all programs. We almost tripled our enrollment from FY23. As far as the particular programs, we had 136 students earn certifications in nursing and health professions. Health professions completions increased 138%. Our dual enrollment completions increased 143%. 176 students earned certificates in the skilled trades, and that's in addition to students that are kind of in apprenticeship programs. This is more of students that like did heavy equipment operator or learn to weld and those types of classes. We had 71 students graduate from the apprenticeship program this year, and that was a 42% increase from the year before. 384 students completed driver's education. And then we had 80 students earn their secondary credential either through the high school diploma or the GED program. Our Groves graduates increased 43% from the 22-23 school or 24 school year. And the state goal for Groves graduations is that 20% of our Groves students would graduate. This year we were at 32%, so we're above that. 70% of our adult basic education students, which includes GED students and ESL students, made their educational functioning level gains this year. We met or exceeded all state and federal goals for adult basic education. Overall, we were at 70%, and the state goal was 65.2%. Last year, we had also met or exceeded all our goals. This year, we were 1% higher than we were last year. In-school credit, which is our credit recovery program, served 454 students this year. That's the highest in the state. Those students completed 680 courses. As comparison, last year, we had 220 students complete 297 courses. And those are from three districts, Sussex, Tech, Cape, and Laurel. Cape had the highest enrollment. So for FY25, I tell my staff that state goals are not our goals. Always want to do better than what we did before. So we're really only competing against ourselves. So I would like to increase our percentage of Groves students graduating to 35%, which would be 15% higher than the state goal. I'd like to increase our overall adult basic education, and which includes ESL, EFL completion rate to 72%, which would be 6.8% higher than the state and federal goal. To increase our apprenticeship graduates by 15%, to increase health professionals and nursing completers by 25%. And I think we can increase our dual enrollment by 100%. Because we are in the process of creating articulation agreements with the Cape and Lincoln School District and the Sussex Central. So actually 100% might be a little conservative. For FY25, we already have 178 in-school credit students who completed 315 courses, and that is Cape and Lincoln Summer School that we ran for them. It ran in the month of July. And we have two students that have earned their GED already through our summer courses that we hold at the Department of Labor in Georgetown. Our second CDLA course is running right now. They're in class. They're in room 408. All eight of these students are grant funded. So that is good news for them. And due to construction, Mike has worked out an agreement with Crossroads Church that we will be allowed to use their parking lot for CDL training. I gave you also in your pack, you should have our sites for FY25. everywhere that we're going to be for proofs, GED, and ESL. Of course, the apprenticeship and healthcare classes are all here. Our new sites for this year are the Milton Library for ESL. Our Lady of Lourdes Catholic Church in Seaford will be for ESL and GED, and that's taking the place of the Seaford Library. We're adding a family literacy site at North Georgetown Elementary, and we are projecting that we can maybe serve 50 families there. We served 52 families in Seaford last year, so that will be doubled. And then the Lewis Library, we're going to hold GED and Grove High School classes. So all of those are daytime classes except for North Georgetown Elementary, that'll be at night. And classes start September 3rd, and we are ready to rock and roll. We have, I want to tell you too, our first ESL orientation was last Tuesday night, and we have already enrolled over 500 students. So, yes.
Yeah, I have two questions. You go to the library, do you have to pay for things?
Yep. We're not allowed to.
These numbers, I cannot comprehend what they're doing. But it sort of looks to me like a tremendous success.
Thank you.
Why? What have you done different? Are we getting more money? Too much money? Not enough money?
Well, no, we're not really getting more money. I think we've really increased our advertising and trying to increase awareness of our programs. It was long said that adult education was the best kept secret in Delaware. And we're trying to return that. When I first took this position, we had about 200 Facebook followers. We have almost 1,800 now. So we're just trying to get the word out. Writing every grant that we get our hands on. Another question.
Great job, Mrs. Rowling. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, and enjoy your shirt. That's from this.
Thanks. Dr. Lang, Dr. Bullock, Raven Academy.
All right. Same thing. I was asked to share a little bit of data about two of the programs that I oversee. And the first one is academic coaching, which went fairly well this year. Caveat, we tried something new. We tried some online sessions, and that did not go very well. So we're not going to offer that again this year. We averaged 1 to 2 students in those online sessions. But the in-person sessions averaged anywhere from, 9 to 13 students. Teachers really appreciate the academic testing opportunity that we have. So if a student missed a test, they can then make it up in that session after school. We're one of the only schools that offers that free after-school tutoring, which is fantastic. Each tech coach does 30 sessions throughout the year. We have a tech coordinator who actually schedules those to make sure that they get all 30 within the year. We have actually posted the vacancies already, so we will go ahead and get started with that planning and maybe have our first session in the third week of September. My second program that oversees the Raven Academy, that's the umbrella term really for credit recovery, which I take care of, and then Dr. Bullock takes care of the CTE Exploratory. So the credit recovery program, actually I couldn't do it without Kelly Whaley and Kim Banks. They really run the show. It's an online platform, 100% online. We use Edmentum, as we have for the past few years, but it's self-paced. So when the student comes in and they finish in 5 days, then they are free to go or free to take a second credit if we need that. So a little bit of data, we had 173 students enrolled and then 33 who just didn't show up for whatever reason. And then we had 140 students who earned one credit, and that's phenomenal. It's a little bit more than we did last year. We had 24 students who completed more than one credit, which is also fantastic. We ran the program for 8 days. It was 8:30 to 12:30. We did include free breakfast and free lunch, and we transported them along with the 7th and 8th graders in the CTE Exploratory. Probably one of the most important parts of this is the retention, because in the 9th grade class, 11 students were able to be promoted because of the credit recovery. So that's phenomenal. In the 10th grade class, 8 students were promoted, 11th grade, 8. And then we did have one senior who was missing one credit. We allowed her to come do that during credit recovery, and she was able to get her diploma. So that's a huge success story. And then lastly, the concurrent programs that we run, the STAMP test, Patricia Hastings, who's our new MLL coordinator, did a phenomenal job in recruiting those kids to come into the library here to take the STAMP test, which then can get them credits
to test out of Spanish 1, 2, and/or 3, which then helps our counselors with scheduling. And then also driver's ed ran at the same time through adult ed. They had 38 students enrolled and 35 passed the course. And those students are either currently driving now or they're going to be scheduled to drive in the fall. Any questions about this?
Langley, could you Dr. Masson, last week, you started with the online offering for tech academic coaching and that it didn't go well. Do you have a feeling why it didn't go well?
So we offered English, math, and social studies. We offered them all on the same night. It was a Tuesday evening. So I asked my coaches, do you think that the day of the week played a role because of athletics or any other things going on? They said no. They said the few students that they did have join their sessions really came without a plan. They just said, I just need help in the subject. And they didn't really have a definitive plan as to, I need to complete this assignment. And then they sort of felt lost. And I think the word spread too, that they weren't really getting much out of it. Whereas when they're in here, they're physically, Mr. Johnson does our math session, he physically walks around and he can help each student with a problem. So.
Could you explain what MLL stands for?
Sorry, MLL, Multilingual Learners.
Thank you.
The thing I find so fascinating about this is going to be the failure of all the technology, which in the end, 5 years ago, I would say that was the way we were going, and maybe reducing the number of teachers, but we had all the tech. And some courses today are being taught, you know, by
100% remote.
100%. So are you saying, and did our experience with COVID say that it doesn't work? And where is it going to fit in? What we're presently doing?
Not necessarily. I think these were just three sessions that were offered. I think by the time some of these students get home from the bus, it's after 4, maybe even after 5 for some who live furthest out. And, you know, you've got dinner, you've got maybe an after school, you know, activity that you're doing, and it's just hard to fit that in, I think.
But you don't like, they do it their own schedule?
Well, no, it was actually a schedule.
To be in that class.
Yes, yes.
Thank you. Dr. Bullock.
Good evening. I'm going to give you a little bit of information about the exploratory program that ran during the 2 weeks of the Raven Academy. We offer this program for upcoming 7th and 8th grade students in Sussex County. We showcased this year 14 of our technical areas. And the students can sign up for up to 4 sessions. They're 2-day sessions, and they can explore 4 different technical areas during that 2-week period. excuse me. They engaged in various hands-on activities during these sessions. They learned how to check their rest and heart rate. They learned how to put together American flags and stain them. They learned how to weld picture frames. And put LED lights behind them. They learned digital publishing software, and they also got very extensive tours of the building and other technical areas, so that even if they couldn't take a certain technical area, they at least got to see what it looks like so that they could maybe consider it if they decided to enroll here. we had a total of 130 students from 7 districts in Sussex County. One student was my own daughter, who greatly enjoyed the program. And 43% of those students did come from the Indian River School District. In terms of attendance, during the first week, we averaged 74 students per session. And during the second week, we averaged 60 students per session. In that first week, cosmetology, environmental science, welding, and carpentry were our top 4 programs with attendance. And during the second week, the most attended sessions were child ed, carpentry, welding, and electrical. Each student did get free breakfast and lunch. They had the free transportation, and they each got a Raven Academy t-shirt to take home with them. Many of them also got to take home projects that they made here so that they could show it off to their family and friends. When I went around and talked to a lot of students, they had a great deal of enthusiasm about this program. They were very interested in enrolling and continuing to explore the many programs that we offer. So I just wanted to thank you guys for your support of programs, not only for our current students, but our future students.
I think it's the second year of the program, correct? This is the second year?
Is it the third year?
And how the numbers, 1, 2, 3, are they increasing or they the same?
I think they're slightly less this year. What were my senses is that, and you saw the difference between week one and week two, students appear to be coming in more specific. I'm interested in these two, but I'm not ready to come back for week three and week four along the way. We're going to have another planning discussion about next summer and how that we could modify and change and look at all three of the programs. Academic, we continue to have conversations about that credit recovery and certainly the exploratory program. The question is now, what's the best way to do it and to deliver it along the way? I want to say thank you to the teachers and staff who put in the hours for all three of the programs along the way. It's always fun to walk around when you have seventh and eighth graders, and I think I say it each year at this discussion, but the excitement level of the technical teachers reflects the excitement level of the seventh and eighth graders who are in front of them. I mean, there's a lot of juice going on in those rooms, and it's a good experience for all. We also expose or ask traditional academic teachers if they want to be part of the program, and they join in also because it gives them some hands-on and some eyes on some technical areas too, which is beneficial. So
can you extrapolate what you just said about, you know, people being more focused on what program you assume that they want to go in? Okay. How does that affect our ninth grade program? And should it affect our ninth grade program? In other words, you know, sampling
Walton. It doesn't impact our ninth grade program because there's currently no connection between seventh and eighth grade exploratory and who gets in as a ninth grader. And the other factor that comes along with this, in some cases, students find out that this isn't what they want to do, which is also a good decision. If you think you want to have this profession or you're going to go this way, and then, maybe not. Maybe I don't want to put that welding gear on and you know, get involved in those kinds of things. And we think that's a benefit also. We certainly are tracking, you know, who's signing up to programs from an interest standpoint, because we think that they're important also.
And my specific question is related to topology. In other words, if they haven't got enough time to get whatever requirements they need to be certified, would they pick up those hours in ninth grade instead of rotating through two or three different courses?
And we've had those conversations. It's like we heard tonight from the Alumni Association, right? One lady who said, thank goodness for exploratory, because she got to find out about, no offense, Will, not being interested in drafting, but found interest in her old job with education. And so I think there could be a relationship between some type of vetting in seventh and eighth grade in terms of making a decision for additional hours in ninth grade when they got here. Yeah.
So there was 14 areas that
yes,
we had.
That's correct.
How many do we have total?
We have 19 total.
The five that were not available, obviously, I guess our instructor couldn't be there, but can we find a way to fill those so that all 19 are available?
So we did fill two spots with adult ed instructors. So that did help kind of fill in a little bit. I definitely would look to adult ed. One of our instructors, he told me after I had already put him in and we advertised for electrical, and he said, well, I could have done criminal justice too. You know, so it was kind of too late for me to put in criminal justice at that point.
So, Will, your question is why?
Well, I was thinking there's five areas that are not there.
Five areas don't. Is that your question?
Does that bring in 40 more kids that may be interested in those five areas?
And why were those five areas not there? Teachers didn't want to do them? Why?
There were some scheduled vacations. One teacher had just had back surgery. So there were a few different variables to consider to get them to commit to 2 weeks. And some of them only did 1 week instead of both weeks.
Where does the commitment time begin for the instructors for this semester?
Usually early spring, we start trying to generate the interest. Making sure it's on the calendar early enough for them so that they can schedule accordingly with their vacations and beach house rentals. And that was one of the teachers. She already had a beach house rental established. So
and we're gonna continue to meet, discuss and adjust and develop ways. And we compensate at per diem for this, and so it's a good week's worth of work, especially at the CTE. So they participate. Thank you, Dr. Bowie.
Thank you.
Yeah. Ms. Erickson, information items, recognitions.
So for tonight's information and recognition information area, we're going to start with students. We had one student graduated in this year, Morgan Lowe, and she won first place at the 2024 Delaware FFA Agri-Science Fair. And this has provided her with an opportunity to potentially compete in the 97th National Future Farmers of America Convention and Expo this year in Indianapolis. And we had our FFA students participated in the state and the Delaware State Fair in July. We had a student, Brock O'Day, who finished third in the tractor driving competition, and Sussex Tech placed second in the Environmental and Natural Resources CDE event, which is a career development event. And we had another graduate, Rebecca Cullen, who was recognized as first place winner for a computer-aided design in a bus safety for our poster for nationals. For faculty and staff, we said a lot of people are in Nashville. So at the beginning of July, the July 8th through 12th, it was the SREB convention held there. We sent teachers and administrators, and we renewed our contract with SREB. And then the following week, Dr. Langley went and she attended the National Association of Secondary School Principals Conference in Nashville. And as mentioned, we've had yesterday and today, our new teachers have been here for new teacher orientation. And for the board, on a good note, we received notice that all board members have to have due processing training, and we confirm that all of you do have it, so you're safe for that 2 hours of training. And then I just have one more question for you. Last year, we had talked about some board members wanted a direct email when we were closed or if we had a delay. So as we were sending out to the papers and posting on social media, you received an email giving you that notification. Does anybody want that this year?
And particularly the 5 o'clock call in the morning.
So the email will come at 5 a.m. That's what I'm saying. So most of you opted out of that. Mr. Brittingham, I know you wanted it. His wife and Will wanted it. Do you guys still want it?
I'll take an email. I just don't want a text or a phone call.
I will add.
I can check the email at 10 o'clock. You're going to call me at 5? Thanks, John. Remember, I know about where you live.
Wonderful. Thank you. That is all. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That concludes our report.
Thank you, Dr. Harris. Next, we'll move to board reports. Ms. Jones?
The SBA had a social on Saturday at Milford at Serve the Turf. It was nice. I think there was 22 people there present, and the schedule for the meetings have been sent out for the change.
Mr. Hayden? Next, we'll move to public participation. Hearing none, we'll move to agenda action items. I'll need a motion for the approval of personnel action items.
So moved. Roll Canova.
Second. Mr. Payne by Mr. Canova, seconded by Mr. Johnson. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes. Next, I need approval of the monthly financials and ESTR summary for June, July, 2024.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Wise, seconded by Dr. Maston. All in favor?
Aye.
We oppose. Motion passes. Unanimous. Next, I need a motion for the approval of the financial position report as of July 21, 2020. Johnson, second. Mr. Johnson, seconded by Ms. Wise. All in favor?
Aye.
We oppose. Motion passes. Unanimous. Next, I need a motion for the approval of the bond anticipation note application.
So moved. Dow Jones,
second.
Motion made by Ms. Jones, seconded by Mr. Canoe. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? That motion passes. Unanimous. Next, we need a motion for the approval of district purchase orders, change orders, and vouchers.
So moved. Second.
Motion made by Ms. Wise, seconded by Ms. Jones. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Next, I need a motion for the approval of revised 24-25 choice recommendation.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Johnson, seconded by Dr. Master. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Next, I need a motion for the approval of revised 24-27 strategic plan.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Wise, seconded by Mr. Canute. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes unanimously. Next, I need a motion for the approval of revised 24-25 school calendar.
So moved.
Second. Motion made by Ms. Young, seconded by Ms. Wise. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Next, I need a motion for the approval of board policy, KCA grant.
So moved. Roll Canova.
Second, Adele Jones.
Motion made by Mr. Canova, seconded by Ms. Jones. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes unanimously. Next, I need a motion for the approval of board policy JMA athletic recognition.
So moved. Roll Canova.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Canova, seconded by Ms. Wise. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimously. Next, I need a motion for the approval of GED staff conduct, electronic communication, and social media review.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Jones, seconded by Mr. Cadillo. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Passing unanimously. Next, I need a motion for the approval of board policy, GCCA, employee leave and non-vacation review.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Johnson, seconded by Mr. McCoon. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Next, I need a motion for the approval of board policy GBAAC Title
IX.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Johnson, seconded by Ms. Jones. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? That passes unanimously. Next, I need a motion for the approval of policy KIA weapons detection screening.
So moved. Second.
Motion made by Mr. Knuller, seconded by Ms. Jones. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That passes unanimously.
Comment that that's for first reading.
That's for first reading. Oh, I'm sorry.
Double tape for first reading.
Enjoy the first reading.
Struck your rhythm here. You're doing great.
All right. We need a motion for the approval of bus transfer contract, bus number 7, from Donald Lingo to Johnson Transportation.
So moved.
Second. Motion made by Ms. Wise, seconded by Mr. Caboodle. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously. And last, we need approval for approval of student discipline case number
05-2024-01.
Motion made by Mr. Johnson, seconded by Ms. Watts. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? That motion passes unanimously. Any unfinished business?
Just a quick comment. I want to say thank you to the board and the administrators and everybody. I mean, the last 12 months, you've had an awful lot of policies come in front of you, and which is part of your responsibility. But keeping up to date and our commitment to you to bring policies annually to you at the beginning of the school year, it's a lot of work putting them together and doing the editing and going through the process. And there's a lot of paperwork, but it's keeps you current. I probably challenge any other district to see if anybody's worked as many policies this year as you have. And so just want to say thank you for the time and effort involved in that policy renewal. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, next up, our next board meeting is Wednesday, September 11th, 2024. I need a motion for adjournment.
So moved. John wins.
Second. Motion by Ms. Jones, seconded by Mr. Knudsen. Meeting adjourned.
People, don't forget to vote in the primary September 10th and check your background of your county council candidates, please. There are some of them that are definitely pro development of everything. What is it? Diane, do you want all this stuff just to put it at your seat here?
I get it. Thank you. I don't like it.